Welcome back, Red Ice members. Thank you very much for joining us here for the second hour. We are talking with Kyle Hunt from startheory.wordpress.com, and we've been going over some basic in regards to human technology, the origins of technology, basically where we're going, and some of the overarching theories of where it might take us. And in the second hour, we have a number of points that we want to go through, but I think we definitely need to mention a few things here at the beginning, Cal, that we talked about during the break here. And basically, you can reiterate this for me or for our listeners. You mentioned this basically about the unintentional creation of this type of system or this type of technology that we're talking about, that the people who are involved basically might not have their full intention and consciousness in place, so to speak, of what they're actually doing. But the effect of that is quite interesting when it comes to the rest of us. Maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Well, I think by creating, you know, a great opposing force, by creating something that's so in your face, kind of evil and terrible, it causes the good people to wake up and say, you know, no, I can't accept this. And they become, you know, so much more than they were. This, the kind of the people who are serving the if you might term it the evil agenda, might not know it, but they're actually serving good in some respects, because, you know, without having these terrible characters to compare against, how can we know, you know, who the heroes are? How can we know what is right without, you know, being smacked in the face with what is wrong?
Do you think it makes us to, does it encourage us to step up even more? Because without this threat, we would mill around on the same level, so to speak, but we really have to get smart and get with the agenda. And hence the consequence of that is that we also become smarter, and a consequence of that is that we step up more and we discover more about ourselves. Do you think that's true?
Right, definitely. Well, when presented with, you know, such a complex task as trying to unweave all of this conspiracy and trying to prevent this, you know, nightmarish future from coming to fruition, people really do have to take action. They become, you know, I think what hopefully they were born to be. They become the heroes of old. You know, and they stop looking to the movies and the television to kind of as those kind of heroic stars. They no longer accept that. They say, you know, I'm the star. I'm a star, and I what I say matters. What I think matters. You know, it's all about, you know, me and my existence here with everyone else, coming to terms with it. And you know, if events, you know, cause this to happen, terrible events cause people to wake up, you know, it might just be that they're there for a purpose, more than just that, you know, some conspirators decided for them to happen.
Hmm. Do you think that this applies to only a minority? Because it is at this point still in that regard, but do you think that this eventually will even force the majority to open their eyes as well?
It might. It's really hard to say, but throughout the kind of the course of human events, the majority was never really needed for great social change. So I think maybe the majority are going to have to either suffer the consequences or be brought forward into a new paradigm slowly. And I'm not sure if that new paradigm is going to be one that's good for them or bad for them, but hopefully they'll be brought forward nonetheless instead of exterminated.
Yeah, because also, I mean, one of the fears on the other end of this, on the other end of the transhumanist movement, is those who are very much against it. And just from a philosophical point of view, I guess we also could ask the question, what is a human being? I mean, we previously had Neanderthals on this planet, but something happened there. Something happened to them. We have a number of theories there as well. We can talk about intervention and so forth, but the basic point is that we have been evolving and progressing all the time. And do you think it's valid to just suggest the theory is valid that this might actually be the next step in human development, although we might not approve of it or not. But in any regards, this is what is going to happen. And this is the next, if you will, evolutionary step to the human being. What do you think about that, Kyle?
No, I think that some might be trying to portray it that way. But I think that the human being is capable of incredible things beyond what we could even imagine by, you know, incorporating ourselves with technology. I think that if we were to unlock kind of the dormant parts of the brain, that we'd be able to do things, you know, far surpassing any potential advantage to, say, you know, having a microchip in the brain or having hard drives installed or having synthetic limbs. I think that we have great, great technology within us, you know, so the technology without it's good for the transitional period, but I don't think we'll need it so much in the future. I think the human being is definitely evolving. It's being aided along by technology, you know, programs like this, and really the internet itself is allowing the human mind to kind of make all these new neural connections. And I think that it's going to lead somewhere, you know, fantastic for it. Yeah. I think it could lead somewhere fantastic. I have faith it will. But obviously there are the downsides as well.
Do you think that, you know, the development of some of this, of our abilities that you talk about potentially as being thwarted by technology as well? I mean, for instance, if we take a few examples, we use the cell phones today instead of developing our potential telepathic ability. So the question is, are we being familiar with how it is to have a telepathic ability by using this device, the cell phone, or is it the other way around, that we actually become lazy and we never will develop our telepathic ability because we have a cell phone? What's your take on that?
Well, it causes us to be lazy for sure. We no longer know how to pick up the subtle cues in even nonverbal communication. We don't really understand ourselves, so it's hard to understand others. And when you don't understand yourself, you don't understand others, how can you potentially, you know, link telepathically with them? So we definitely have to make a progression forward before we can start to really see these abilities being developed. I think it's going to happen, you know, fairly shortly. We're going to start seeing it more widespread. We already see it in a lot of, you know, movies and films and stories, but it's really making its way out into kind of the real life for many people who start having these kinds of experiences. So I think when people start opening up to say maybe one level of it, you know, it could be kind of something that's self-perpetuating, and they keep on opening up and they keep on developing, you know, greater and greater abilities, let's say. And maybe technology will hinder us to a certain extent. But for the time being, I see it as a great tool through which we can learn,
yeah,
through which people can kind of communicate their thoughts back and forth, see what it is like to send something out into the ether and have it be reflected upon.
I see what you mean. So it's a way for us to potentially remember those abilities. But if the technology goes because of, you know, changes in that we talked about before, if the grid goes down, so to speak, then our urge to have that capability without the technology will be greater. Is that what you're saying, in a way?
I think it could be. I do think that we won't always have the internet as it stands right now. There are, you know, great forces that are looking to shut it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially in the United States, but all over the world. China, Australia, you know, probably in Russia. I'm not sure what it's like in Sweden, but, you know, They're passing all this legislation that makes free speech, you know, illegal, pretty much. You know, hate crimes and cyberbullying,
yeah,
are gonna be used to stop it. The Department of Homeland Security in the United States just recently said that because of the swine flu, the internet might have to go down. They're gonna have to block some websites so that the transactions of commerce can occur. And so I think, you know, this is actually a good sign. I think it means that we're really having effect out there. I think that the internet kind of got out of their control, and people really kind of took this idea of free speech to a whole new level, and are developing you know, great trains of thought that are very dangerous to the powers that be.
Yeah.
So even if they do shut them down, it only means that you know, it was very effective. That the information that has been getting out has been very powerful and kind of has changed the game quite a bit.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you there, and I think they are, in that sense, worried and feel the need that they need to do something about it, stop basically the flow of information, the flow of ideas that exist out there. Because again, when people begin to share their ideas across the web like that, I mean, I don't know how many new fields of interesting study that have been popping up just because the sake of the internet. People who are in, you know, different countries can share their own ideas and develop thoughts and in a whole new way. And ultimately, I think that that's what they didn't want that. And I think that they try to flood the web with all the nonsense, with all the smut and all the sports and celebrity crap, you know, as best as they can. But there's still a lot of people out there that are really interested in some of the important stuff, so to speak. So I agree with you. I think that's definitely a good sign in that regard. By the way, if we talk about the internet and the potential extension of where that might be going, and again leads us into another scary area, I think it was the CBC, or no, it might have been the American public channel that you have over there, which did a documentary a while ago, a few years ago now, I think two or something, called The Worldwide Mind. Don't know if you ever saw that one.
No.
It was really interesting, where they showed this scary scenario, basically, of how people will be connected through a internet that exists within the mind of human beings. And this was a pipe dream, of course, like, you know, 3-4 years ago even. But now things are moving ahead. They're developing different technologies when we talk about computer brain interfaces and so forth. There is some interesting advantages to this, which might be interesting, but what are some of the downsides to that, do you think, if that would be allowed to go along, and if they did develop that? What do you see as a kind of a nightmare scenario if we get something like that, Kyle?
Well, you're familiar with Len and Honor. I believe you had him on the program, correct?
We had him on the show, that's right, yes.
Yeah, he's been working on his film, The Borg Agenda, and one of the interesting points he brings up in that is that information is not the same as knowledge. So if you flood a brain with information, it can't really discern and doesn't have the time to really process it, so it could accept it all, you know, just as is, without really having to derive any meaning or knowledge out of it. They don't have wisdom. They might have all this information, but they're not really able to do anything meaningful or good with it. So, you know, that also gets into kind of the idea of the hive mind, where everybody's sharing the same thoughts and feelings, and probably not even feelings, but they're really just part of one large organism that might potentially have kind of a queen bee in control of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, by having this uplink, it would almost be removing the firewalls that exist naturally around the human mind to avoid, to protect against the psychic vampires, to protect against anybody that wants to kind of steal our energy, to steal our soul, even. That will be removed to a certain extent, I believe, and people will be turned into drones if that's allowed to happen, or at least they could be.
Absolutely, and I mean that's an incredibly scary scenario. The one world mind, which basically is what the hive mind is correlated to the worldwide mind. And the question is, of course, if you look at it from a psychological point of view, then we have a new kind of phenomena popping up as well, where we have individuality eroding pretty much, and people will just play out the agenda of some bigger scheme. And do you, if we look at that from a point of view that we are, you know, spiritual individuals and so forth, that we have a purpose here to fill, a role to fill, and we have our own experiences and so forth, if that goes out the door, so to speak, what do you think the consequences of that will be? Do you think that human beings will still play this out inside of the hive mind, so to speak, that if we look at it from a point of view of a virtual reality world, do you think that we have the same properties within there, or do you think that something else will take place? For instance, that we are being will be shut down on a human level, and we actually no longer will be can be considered to be human beings because we've lost something so essential as our individuality. Well, what do you think will happen if we actually go into a system like that, Kat?
So I think at a certain level, we're already existing in a system like that, where when a person puts on a uniform, they really lose their individuality. They see everybody else around them, you know, looking like themselves. That's why they do it. That's why they shave everybody's head in the army. You can't have a beard. You can't do this or that. You have to look like everybody else. And so that makes kind of the human feel, oh, I'm not individual. I'm not special. I'm just part of this big thing. So I'm going to serve this thing that's greater than myself. Which is what people once did with kind of, I guess, the idea of God, but now which they're doing with state or with organization. But this happens at all levels, and the kind of erosion of individuality, I think it could be a terrible thing, but at the same time, I think people do need to get rid of their egos to a certain extent. The ego serves its function. But we can't just look at everyone outside of ourselves as completely different and separated from us. We're not islands unto ourselves. Every action we take, you know, has an impact upon all of the rest of the world, kind of the whole butterfly effect. So if we're conscious that all of these beings outside of ourselves are like us and should be treated with respect and dignity, then, you know, we can avoid the alternative, which is I'm part of this group, and anybody that's not part of this group, deserves to die. Is not worthy of life. Instead, thinking on a more cosmic level and saying, you know, we're all part of the same greatness. We're all part of this you know, amazing universe. This we're part of existence, and to kind of take that and really allow it to affect their lives.
What about if we talk about the alien aspect of this? You mentioned a little bit about the Vulcans. Tell us about that.
Sure. So the god of technology historically was Vulcan from Roman mythology. His name was Hephaestus, I believe, in Greek mythology. He was the guy that crafted the armament of the gods. He made the armor that Achilles wore into battle. It was supposed to be magical armor. So he's the god of fire and the god of volcanoes as well. But Vulcan has an interesting story. He was thrown out of Mount Olympus by Juno and Jupiter. He was thrown out because he was red. You know, basically he was redheaded. That's why he was thrown out, it seems to be. So he kind of had a happy childhood being raised by the sea, and eventually found a coal. He found an ember burning, and so he, you know, built it up into a great fire in his, you know, underground lair, and started crafting all of these amazing things. And he was said to have, you know, made vehicles. He was said to have made actually a slave army of golden women. He had a golden woman slave army. And this is kind of interesting because the idea of this golden army is everywhere. I believe that the Zog robot is actually golden. In Hellboy 2, it's the golden, I think it is the golden army or the golden horde or something along those lines. So he has golden slave girls. But then just looking at his name itself, Vulcan, where else do we see this? Vulcan was the name that George Bush's foreign policy advisory team took in 2000 to get him elected as president of the United States. They were called the Vulcans.
Yeah.
And we mentioned this during the break that you know, their whole platform was that they're not kind of held back by human emotions.
Right. Right.
They're able to be very logical, very much like robots. And this is also what we see of the Vulcans from Star Trek, is that they just can't, you know, they don't, it's not that they don't have emotions, but it's that they repress them. They yes. have chosen to repress their emotions in favor of the logical. They basically shut down the right brain to a large extent and are just operating with the left. And what's kind of interesting in the history of the series is that the Vulcans were the first alien race to come in contact with the humans. They brought them into the Galactic Federation of planets. Mm. You know, pretty much the UN of the galaxy.
That's right.
And they gave to the humans some technology, but they also held back some because the humans were a little too unpredictable. Sometimes they'd act logical. Sometimes they'd act, with their emotions. Sometimes they would just, act one way and then change it and kind of play it off the cuff, if you will. And also with the Vulcans, was that they were related to the Romulans. Back somewhere in their history, the Romulans and the Vulcans shared a common ancestor, but that they forked off at a certain point because the Romulans didn't want to go down this philosophical path that the Vulcans were taking, wherein they were destroying all kind of the great things that came along with emotion. And so this could potentially be the origin of the two different kinds of thought on this planet, the two different kinds of people. It's telling this story about how, you know, a long time ago we split off and our hemispheres of our brains no longer really communicate with each other. They're enemies. They kind of war with each other and people aren't whole. They really don't feel complete. And I think it has a lot to do with the fact that, you know, we have competing thoughts all the time and we can't really, come to terms with what is true. Because for the left, this is true. Everything is separate. Everything is, is compartmentalized. The only way to find out what's, real is to dissect it. And on the right, we have, everything is whole. Everything is part of the same thing, and time isn't exactly linear. And so these kind of competing ideas always kind of play a part in where humans head.
Absolutely, and it's beautifully kind of illustrated, I guess, in the Star Trek series as well. In that way, they really show and give a more story basically a story to the origins of what that might be coming from. It's really, really interesting. And what about if you just look briefly at some of the symbolism in regards to V overall? I mean, V, we have the remade version now of V, the Visitor series, of course. Don't know if you have a chance to see that first episode yet, but that's been coming out again, showing the aliens coming in and in some way handing us technology is another one of those stories.
And free healthcare too.
Oh yeah, that's right, exactly. And there is of course V for Vendetta. You had something about in your post about that too. But there's a whole lot of V symbolism. Star Trek obviously even used the old the V sign. The Vulcan main character there, but what do you think that symbolizes in terms of alien intervention and so forth? The V is a very, very recurring theme. Anything you can say about that?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think that it has something to do with violence. I think that a kind of this whole plot for an alien war has been set up for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people in the alternative research field had been looking into the reptilians and, you know, all of these different secret subjects for a long time. And now they're finally making it to the mainstream. So you have to wonder what the purpose of this is, you know, where it seemingly is telling, you know, something that could very well be true and could very well happen, you know, soon. Why might they do this? It could be that the whole alien story is rubbish. It could be that humans are behind it all. You know, people have been using Tesla's technology since the early 20th, you know, part of the 20th century, and, you know, have created amazing things. We're not allowed to know about it, and it's only humans doing it. They've kind of crafted this elaborate story to somehow fool us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know if that's true, but it seems like the media is trying to instigate something of a rebellion against it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned, I don't know if the media is always doing something evil, if they're always up to something evil. Maybe. But like at the end of the gamer film, it's the media who gets the word out and causes that whole system that occurs in Gamer, the terrible futuristic side, to collapse. The media is the one who kind of saves the day. So maybe that's just them patting themselves on the back.
That sounds like it, yeah.
But it could serve in this role to really awaken people to, listen, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. We're not allowed to really tell you about it. But if you have the will and kind of a discerning mind, you know, if you haven't been totally programmed by us to be, you know, an idiot, you can see that it's happening all around you.
Well, it's a difficult question in that regard, because just as you said there, I mean, they're participatory in dumbing people down, you know, at the same time. But could it be that they, if we put it this way, could it be that they can't put themselves in a position where they give too much away of the answer, because this is about a discovery that people have to do for themselves, meaning that they have to awaken, first of all, that they have to awaken to themselves, of course, but then they have to awaken to the greater picture. But if you were hands off, just told about all of this stuff, you really wouldn't have to do any of the homework, if you follow my train of thought. It would be too easy, so to speak, in one weird kind of way. If you look upon this as an experiment, if you will, from a higher point of view, from a higher source, that human beings are meant to awaken to a higher reality and so forth. But if we were given too much of the answers too quickly, we wouldn't really have to do any of the work, so to speak. So this is a way they're giving a little trinkets here and there. They're giving us little clues, but they're not telling us the whole story. Could that be the case?
I think it could be. I think a lot of times what the media is doing is just trying to confuse the hell out of us.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, coming out with all these different doomsday scenarios so that we have no idea what's really going on behind the scenes. So it's one big disinformation campaign. But I think there's a lot of validity to what you're saying, which is that, you know, if we're not forced to really look inside, to then look outside, to explore in all these different areas, if we're not the ones who have to go out and seek it, then it doesn't really have the same kind of effect.
Yeah.
You can't make somebody be a good person by giving them, you know, tons of information. It's got to come from themselves, that they want to change, that they want to find out what's really going on. So yeah, they send out wake up calls.
And it might be that this force is working through the media. We mentioned that many times before in this program, that it could also be part of this unconscious force that you mentioned before, that because so many eyes are focused on the media and focused on the mainstream and focused on movies as well, that the messages are coming through this force because there's so much attention put to it. So whatever higher force it is out there, it makes sure that the message is going to come across, and the medium in this case is the media, if you follow my train of thought.
Well, I think the media is also, you know, they create some things, but they're very reflective. So I think a lot of what they're putting out these days is actually coming from the alternative side, which is, I'd say, the great intelligence on this planet. It are the people who are involved in this type of research. And, you know, although it's somewhat small, you can already see, say, you know, like the research that Jordan Maxwell did, how much stuff was then based off of that.
Yeah.
And then how that kind of ripples out into all the different domains. So maybe what's going on is, you know, we're very close to the center of what's actually taking place. And, you know, as our thoughts get kind of bounced around and sent off out into the ether, out into space, they're picked up and then they're magnified.
Yeah.
And then so you do a story on something, and then a couple days later you see, you know, a big story out in the news, you know, related just to that topic. And so I think that what's going on is at a very deep level, and it's not, as you said, always conscious.
Exactly. I mean, and if people still don't know what we're talking about here in that sense, people just have to look at the new 2012 movie, which is coming out 5, 6, 7 years ago. This was, you know, no one knew about it. Now we have these multi-million-dollar productions that are being made of this. Of course, it probably will be one of these, you know, doomsday, propaganda films in that sense. But it still shows the idea that it has come from an undercurrent. It's come from people like Jose Argüelles and Carl Johan Kallemani and Lungold, and people who have been, John Major Jenkins, there's a number of other people involved in that too, of course, but who have been studying, researching this and talking about this on alternative radio shows and on documentaries and stuff about it. And now here, all of a sudden, we see it as a multi-million dollar production. So that's a clear example right there.
Yeah, and it's being released on Friday the 13th.
That's right.
And you know what today is?
11th. 11-11.
11-11-09.
That's
yeah.
Right.
So we've been taking this past, you know, I don't know, I'd say month or so has been so loaded with stuff. It seems like things are selling at a massive rate. You know, you have the V Show getting released on November 3rd. Obviously, you know, very close to November 5th. And then on November 5th, we have you know, the shootings at Fort Hood.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting to look at is that the guy who is reported to have done the shooting was actually working on a program that's very similar to Universal Soldier. He was trying to make it so that soldiers could go into battle, you know, have all this, like, you know, terrible stuff happen with their mind, and then when they come back, they can just get fixed up using electrical stimuli, you know, to make those memories not so bad, or to help them to forget them so that they can be repackaged and sent back out to battle.
That's incredible.
And so it really is. So that was November 5th. And of course that resonates, you know, with the V, remember the 5th of November.
Yes.
And then we're moving forward. You know, today we're talking about all this technology on 11-11-09. And, you know, in 2 days, we do have 2012 coming out, which is going to program into the minds of many that what's going to happen in the future is going to be some catastrophic, terrible event. And I think this is extremely dangerous.
Yeah.
Because it's a program that is being run. And if people believe that is what's going to happen, their expectations and their actions could inadvertently cause it to happen.
Yeah. Exactly. That's a very good point. There could be another form of programming, and the forces behind the media might be aware of this too. They might know about the unconscious forces in the human collective, if you will, the human collective unconscious. So they program things in there in order to actually manifest it or make it happen. There's a lot of research pointing towards that fact right now, that we are creating things where we put our intention, where we put our awareness, and what we focus on. And so, again, we come back to this whole idea of what we've been talking about in regards to technology as well, that by even putting these ideas into movie format, in fantasy form, so to speak, this might spur the inventor, who today might only be 5, 6, 7 years old, who go and see this movie, and in 20, 30 years' time, he will be the one who actually invents it, because everything starts with a human thought, an idea at first, and then we consequently invent that. So it's a way for them potentially maybe to if not they, if they not have this technology already that they're being portrayed in many of these new movies that are coming out, it's something that they want in the future, and hence by programming us, that's what they're going to get, if you follow me.
Right. Well, have you seen the movie Dark City?
Yeah, absolutely. One of my favorites, by the way.
Yeah, I watched that last night, almost in preparation for today. And what's absolutely amazing is you have these very white individuals underneath the city who are being possessed. They have aliens basically within inside them. And when they all work together, they're able to tune, and they're able to change the entire city. So they know how to turn their thoughts into reality via technology. And what ends up happening is one of their test subjects, basically learns how to do this himself. And he by himself, and I think this really attests to kind of the power of the human individual, is able to oppose all of their forces and really create the world he wants to see. And so I think if enough kind of people do this, if enough people kind of become their own savior by putting out into the world what it is that they want to see, and first you have to realize what you don't want to see. I don't want future to go this way. So instead, what I'm going to do is change it. I'm going to use my mind and every single aspect of my being to make sure that I manifest that which I want.
Yeah.
And obviously you have to have a kind of wisdom and knowledge and all these things guiding you, because it's kind of like the genie. You wish for something and you might get it, but there are all these unintended consequences. So if people are kind of trying to manifest things out of greedy, selfish kind of place, then there are going to be lots of bad things that come happening to them. That's just kind of the essence of karma.
Very good point, Cal. Absolutely. And there's a few more points here I'd like to touch upon. The overarching idea of the anti-human agenda, you touched upon on this in your post as well. But what about the whole video game generation as well? What do you think about the idea that we might see a future where soldiers of tomorrow will be sitting in front of a keyboard and with a mouse and handling drones? We might even end up in a situation where they believe that they're playing a computer game, but they're actually controlling real robotic drones that are, shooting people down in Afghanistan or what have you, wherever the next war will spring up. What do you think about that idea?
I think that's very, very possible, and it seems very much, like what's going on today. There's this new video game called Modern Warfare 2, and in it, the player can actually, he has to, for one of the missions, I believe, shoot innocent civilians and blame it on a terrorist group. That's like one of the missions, is that he's got to shoot innocents in order to, further some kind of agenda. And so that's just one small example of, how people are being conditioned through these video games to not really think much of violence against each other, to not really, to think that life is only, something that can be shut off and reset, and there are no consequences for the actions that are being taken. Like, Grand Theft Auto, just going around and stealing whatever you want. And it, actually, that's kind of, they actually show you what happens in that. Tons of cops come after you and people try to kill you. But you don't really get that in all these war games. And they are really preparing people for being able to interface through technology to perform very complicated, functions. So people are very good with those with controllers. I've seen people do. I mean, it's amazing how quickly they can react and hit those buttons and manipulate the characters.
Yeah, absolutely. How does all this, do you think, play into the anti, well, basically anti-human agenda? We touched upon this before in regards to that we might see development of a whole new species, being that the human as we know it might be out the door here pretty soon. But I mean, we have radical environmental movements that are going on as well. Everything from carbon taxing to scaring people into submission that the Earth is going to crumble and fall apart if we don't do something about this. And the overarching idea there is that it's very anti-human in that sense. Humans are evil. Humans are contributing to all the problems in the world. What's your take on all of this, Kyle?
I think it's a very interesting subject, and I'm of a couple different minds of it. Of course, I understand that what we are doing to the environment is terrible. I don't think we should be clear cutting forests just to plant soybeans in Brazil, which is one of the things that they do. I don't think that we should really just kind of treat nature as something that we can just do with as we please, that doesn't have consequences. So there are some things that I really disagree with of what's going on in terms of industrialization and its consequences. At the same time, I think that this whole carbon dioxide cap and trading system, it's a scam, of course. It's a way to fund global government. And so they've been able to kind of co-op people's natural love of the planet, this thing that we share all of our materials with, where we get all of the building blocks that make up our bodies. That kind of natural connection is being used towards setting up a global government. Our natural connection with each other is being used towards setting up a global government. Oh, I'm a global citizen. Yeah. We're all in this together, and that's true. We are all in this together. It's just the solutions that they're providing are not the ones that I think we should be going towards, because it will lead to unintended consequences that are, in my opinion, intended by the people who are at the top. Yeah. And what their intention is to get rid of as many people as possible, and they kind of put forth this myth of overpopulation. Yeah, the planet has a whole bunch of humans, but we could all live here. We could all live here very sustainably. It's just we can't live the way that in this throwaway consumer culture. We can't do that with this many people. But we could certainly all live here together, and we could move forward out into space as well. And people might be of different opinions on what's really out there on the moon or Mars, but I think that is where humans will eventually end up as well.
What about if we address a little bit of the alchemical aspect to all of this? You wanted to touch upon this a little bit, Kyle.
Well, alchemy is turning base materials into gold, pretty much. And so, people can talk about this as a spiritual transformation, as a literal transformation from base elements into gold, a noble element. But if you look at really the fundamentals of what we're doing here, what we do with words, what we do with information, what we do with the ones and zeros, we rearrange them. We take some from this place. We put them all together. We craft this kind of this thing out of it, and sometimes we get gold. That's what something a great movie is, in my opinion. That's what a great article is, in my opinion. A great person. It's something gold made out of these base materials. And so I think that with all of these technological components, we could create something golden. We could create a golden age. But there are many forces that don't want this to happen, that would hate for the golden age of man to actually occur. And so, it actually goes back to the Titans too. They were the ones who were said to have ruled over the golden age of man. So maybe that's, they're not really the problem.
What do you think is the basic drive behind the fact that we don't seem to achieve that or accomplish that? Do you think that the forces behind that, the anti-human sentiment or the anti-human agenda that you talked about before as well, do you think that those spawn from you know, this Vulcan mindset, almost this alien mindset, if you will, or do you think that that's inherently in human beings as well? Where do you think it comes from?
Some put forth that, you know, there's a hole at the heart of humans, and no matter how much they take in, they can't be whole. I think this could be true. Maybe somehow, if my theory that we all are stars is true, which I believe it is, then a human being could potentially become a black hole. And so they basically suck in all of the light around them, you know, to try to be as massive as possible, to try to extinguish everything else that's out there. But at the same time, I think that, you know, there is an opposing force, which is kind of this supernova force, which says, you know, this energy isn't just mine. I'm not going to hoard it for myself. I'm going to try to get it out there and kind of just be, kind of explode into the universe. And so I don't think that selfishness is inherent to all human beings. People talk about human nature as something evil. I actually think that human nature is something great that somewhere along the lines it has been kind of briefly corrupted and made into something dull. But, you know, this is only a very short period of time in terms of existence. You know, the last, even say, let's say 6,000 years is only a blink of an eye. And I think human beings have had a great past, where we were amazing beings. And I think we are going to be that once again. And I think it was just a little blip in the progress that we've been going through. But I think it might have been a necessary kind of period of time,
yeah,
wherein we transform, where all this turmoil is only part of something that leads to the building of something greater.
Absolutely, and I, you know, it's a very good thought. I think that you know, we are on the path of changing this around, and we have been through a dark period, if you will, right now. But if we just, you know, briefly talk about the thought around when this is going to begin to turn around, do you think that this will only happen on an individual level, that we, one by one, we begin to live our lives as we want to, not being controlled by all that is being put up around us? Or do you think that it will more be a mass, I guess, movement, if you will, that will spring up and people will latch on to that? Or how do you see this play out if we indeed are heading towards a positive goal here, so to speak?
I think that it will be, you know, individuals taking actions by themselves, that starts everything, and it has started everything off. But at a certain level, it will reach kind of a, I don't know if we call it a breaking point, but it will just kind of explode. You know, it's kind of, it'll reach like a whole new level once a critical mass is reached, I believe. So it might be some kind of catalyzing event. But I think that the whole movement to try to stop this terrible future, you know, we see in front of us, I think it's gaining, you know, incredible momentum these days. So I think it could be soon, and I think it could grow at almost an exponential rate for quite some time.
Well, that's good. That's a positive outlook, and I think that's a good point to begin to round things up here on this for this time, Kyle. And obviously, I want to thank you very much for the stimulating conversation, sharing some of your work with us as well. Very thought worthy. Really enjoyed it. Why don't you let us know your website again, so people know where to go to find out more? And what's next up? Do you know anything planned ahead of what you'll be writing about, or do you kind of go where synchronicity leads you, Kyle?
Well, let's see. The website is startheory.wordpress.com, and I'm not exactly sure what's next. I'm always looking into new areas. So I might be touching upon cloning and hybridization in the next few weeks. Also, we'll be looking into different aspects of the self and some more theories as to what our purpose is to do here. And I think it all comes back to that individual level. I think we're all here for individual reasons, but I'm not really sure. I usually get led around by synchronicity, and I'm confident it will keep taking me in some interesting directions.
All right. Again, the website startheory.wordpress.com. Thank you very much, Callum. We hope to have you back again as more of your research comes along. So keep up the great work.
Great. Thanks. It was very much an honor being on the program. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay, that's our program with Kyle Hunt. Thank you for listening. We will be back soon with more radio. Check our upcoming guests in our radio archive. You can also submit your guest or topic suggestions in our member section. Check the links at the top menu. Okay, take good care, friends, and we will talk more soon.